welcome to the political cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
And welcome, everybody, to the award-winning political cesspool radio program. It is Saturday night, June 9th. And we're here. You know, we got to take our show on the road more often, Keith, as we broadcast our flagship station, AM 1380 WLRM Radio in downtown Memphis, Tennessee, going out to all the AM/FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network from Atlanta, where we've broadcast. And, you know, coming up, ladies and gentlemen, and we should have mentioned this before now, the first weekend in July, I believe it's the 6th and 7th. In Nashville, Tennessee, we'll again be taking our show on the road. And Keith Alexander and I will be speaking at the Council of Conservative Citizens meeting. Stay tuned to our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, for more information on this. We will be sharing the stage with a number of gifted leaders in this movement, including U.S. Congressman Tom Tancredo. So a big draw there, and we'll be broadcasting live remote from Nashville the first Saturday of July. So stay tuned. It's going to be a lot of fun. More details at our website over the course of the next few weeks. Again, ladies and gentlemen, great to have you here with us tonight. It's a bubbly atmosphere here in the cesspool. And as it always is, we do our work with a smile on our face and with a light heart, even though the days are wicked and the righteous are few. But we've got a lot of ground to cover tonight, so I don't want to waste any time. It's a busy show, as it always is. But first, I want to welcome my good friend and Confederate Keith Alexander.
Yeah, Confederate in more ways than one, I guess. I guess we're going to be like Laurel and Hardy. Or I tell you what, we need to get Bill Rowland in there so we can be the Three Stooges at the Council of Conservative Citizens Convention. But I tell you what, we're all looking forward to that, and we hope as many of you as possible can be there, because, you know, regardless of who speaks, it's always a great opportunity for people who really know what's going on to get together, share ideas, and to gain the, I guess you would call it the you know, the feeling of solidarity that you get from being around people who do know what's going on, and as a result, you don't feel like you're the Lone Ranger out there, as we do so often.
Yeah, you know, you certainly feel that familial bond take place just from listening to this program on the radio. At least I feel it as we broadcast the show. Wait until you experience the kind of camaraderie that presents itself when you're at a live taping of the show. And again, our next time on the road after tonight will be the first Saturday in July, when we head up to Nashville and share the stage with a U.S. Congressman, Tom Tancredo, former U.S. Congressman, of course. Ladies and gentlemen, we want to start the show off tonight with another dissection of the politics of name-calling. I mean, listen to how ridiculous this has gotten. And Keith and I were talking about this at lunch earlier in the week. Al Sharpton has gone on radio and says that the GOP, the modern-day Republican Party, the limp-wristed, politically correct, bend-over-backwards to kowtow to non-whites who will never vote for them, Republican Party, the party of Mitt Romney and John McCain. Yes, Al Sharpton says that the GOP, that GOP, wants to exterminate black people. And not only that, he compared Mitt Romney to Adolf Hitler. If Mitt Romney is now drawing neo-Nazi accusations, folks, don't worry if you are too. You know, listen, when you are outspoken on political issues that defy the false gods of political correctness, you are going to be subjected to this type of hysterical name-calling. That's just the way it is. First of all, no matter what political persuasion yours may be, if you're white, you automatically start out at the base level of being a racist. Even liberals are racist. White equals racist, period, when you're engaged in the political arena. If you're white and you don't hate yourself, you get bumped up to the level of white supremacist. If you're white, don't hate yourself, and have been effective in reaching people or gaining power and influence, you move all the way up the ladder to being falsely labeled as a Nazi. Now, again, let's take neocon Mitt Romney and the Republican Party. As I said, even they are getting the Nazi label these days, which just goes to show how ridiculous all of these charges have become. Al Sharpton, the MSNBC commentator, now keep in mind what Pat Buchanan got fired for. This MSNBC commentator, Al Sharpton, you know, he took to the race card, and he took it to a whole new level by claiming that Republicans are like Hitler and are prepared to kill African Americans en masse. Let's quickly play this clip, and I'm going to toss it over to Keith for some commentary. Here's Al Sharpton in his own words.
It seems like they act as though some wiping out of people, some of the right wing, is all right. It's not all right to do to any innocent people. Please. Now, if you had war and people are, that's one thing, but to wipe out innocent people just because of who they are, like what was done in Hitler's Germany, all was done to natives around Americans, is not justifiable.
You know, but Rev, I think, and what is similar to Hitler's Germany, is that Hitler did not believe those people to be human.
Right.
They believed them to be subhuman. And that's, I think, the same thing we're thinking, that people are thinking here, is that, you know, why do they even care about them? Because they're not human.
Right.
And that's how we're being looked at, and that's what the scariest part of this whole thing is.
That's exactly right. Let's go to Tanya in Detroit.
All right. All right, did you hear that, ladies and gentlemen? With his special blend of Ebonics and English, Al Sharpton said that the Republican Party, and you heard it in your own with your own ears through the horse's mouth, act as though that wiping out of people is all right. He talks about Hitler's Germany and what was allegedly done to Native Americans, so on and so forth, American Indians, he called them Native Americans. And then did you hear the woman who said, you know, she basically agreed. She said that Hitler believed that the Jews were subhuman and the Republicans believed that blacks were subhuman, to which Al Sharpton readily agreed. Now, Keith, what is this moron talking about? Now, keep in mind, again, that this guy is seen as an establishment political commentator making, you know, just bizarre accusations such as this.
You know, I'd really love to see what he's basing this on. can you believe it? You know, we've said before, you know, if you're outspoken, you just said it. If you're an outspoken conservative, you'll be labeled a Nazi, a bigot, a racist. Apparently, if you're a soft-spoken conservative, or even if you're a unspoken, tongue-biting conservative like Mitt Romney, like the leadership of the Republican Party, you're going to be claimed to be some genocidal monster by the left. The left is constantly trying to set up straw men to knock down. They're always looking, like we said, for that Alabama lynching that never seems to happen anymore. So they fantasize about it, that we encounter books like John Grisham's A Time to Kill. He was a good Democrat, and he said he based this on watching the premise for his book, A Time to Kill, which was a bunch of troglodytic Klansmen that kidnapped this sweet and virginal black 12-year-old, take her out, abuser, rape her, and then kill her. A crime that, as far as I know, has never happened in the annals of mankind. But, you know, I guess you can't say that, because anything you can imagine has happened at least once in the world, sometime between the day of creation and now. But can you believe that Mitt Romney is being, you know, this is the most absurd thing I've ever heard.
Folks, we'll be right back. I'm going to toss it right back to Keith after these words from our sponsors, and he's going to really sink his teeth into this topic. Stay tuned.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0-degree sleeping bag. This comfortable family-sized sleeping bag can hold two adults and one child or four young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, folks, we're just getting a busy night started here in the political cesspool this evening. We're turning up the temperature here. As the temperatures are rising across the country this summer, it's getting even hotter here at the cesspool studios. And what we were talking about during that first segment, and we're going to talk about it a little bit longer now, is the absolute insanity that goes with political name calling in this day and age. You know, because we tell the truth, and because we have developed a profile, and we have developed a reputation here on this radio program, we're subjected to this. We get falsely accused of being white supremacists and neo-Nazi and all of these other crazy terms that the left heaps on us in hopes that it will make us radioactive to the point that others will not want to listen, that it will damage our reputation. Well, anybody that knows anything knows that if you were engaged in politics at all, you're going to be subjected to these labels. If Mitt Romney is now being compared to Adolf Hitler by mainstream commentators, and keep in mind who the mainstream commentators are, people like Al Sharpton, who has his own show on MSNBC. I mean, this guy is what they hold up as a standard in the so-called establishment media. Well, he went on the radio and said that the Republican Party, today's manifestation of the Republican Party, this politically correct abomination, this very liberal, neoconservative Republican Party, he says, yes, they want to wipe out, they want to exterminate all black people, and that Mitt Romney is the current incarnation of Adolf Hitler. Mitt Romney, a Massachusetts liberal, he is a modern-day version of Hitler. There's no difference between Romney and Hitler to the left. Well, of course, that's absolutely crazy. The bottom line is, if you're white and you're engaged in politics, you're going to be unfairly labeled. You can either waste your time trying to reason with these buffoons, or you can laugh off their absurdities and move forward with your work telling the truth in love. We've always chosen the latter option here. But folks, you got to go to this blog entry at thepoliticalcesspool.org. In addition to the clip from Al Sharpton that we played at the top of the show, you will see these posters of Mitt Romney. It says Adolf Romney, and it's got Mitt Romney wearing the brown suit and the red tie with the Hitler mustache, the classic Hitler portrait, but with Mitt Romney's face on it. And Adolf Romney, and these are just going up everywhere. I mean, Keith, what in the hell are they thinking?
I tell you, I'm trying to figure this out, and apparently any opposition whatsoever to the left's agenda is going to get this type of hysterical response. And it's laughable when you get it from somebody like Al Sharpton, who obviously does not have an IQ in the triple digits. You know, there's nothing about this. And this guy is getting a princely salary in today's America to spew this type of utter foolishness. Now, political correctness is a soft tyranny. And, you know, we can laugh about things like this, but this is actually, you know, things like this are the reason we have such a feckless opposition to liberalism today. This is why the Republican Party is constantly trying to find ways to be less and less conservative. And, what is happening to America, it's incrementalism. The left, this is cultural Marxism 101. The cultural Marxists said that they could affect a revolution, affect a transformation of society without bloodshed. And they were right. Political correctness is more effective than bloodshed. You know, under classical Marxism, they said you've got to have a bloody revolution. If you opposed the Communist Party in Russia, let's say in the 1920s, you'd be arrested at midnight, hauled down to the basement of the Lubyanka, and a bullet would be put in the base of your brain. The problem, as the cultural Marxists saw it, with that type of response is that it provokes armed opposition. And it also causes the regime to be hated. Instead, they said, we can do this through political correctness. We can do it through what they call the therapeutic state. We can do it through what they call critical theory, where relentless criticism. This is the type of relentless criticism that the cultural Marxists had in mind. And it's so over the top that it would be laughable, but for the fact that it gets endorsed by the mainstream media. They have some buffoon like Al Sharpton mouthing this foolishness. And you see how bad it's gotten in America now. People like Ralph Reed of the American Family Council, Jim Dobson of the Focus on the Family religious right program, have now been named to be racists and bigots, and they're on the hate map of the United States, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center. See, what they're doing by all of this is, what it's coming down to is this. Political correctness can affect your career. It can get in the way of you getting a good job. It can get in the way of you being a respected member of the community, or at least being recognized. You're either ignored, or they come after you like a mad dog, with mad dog Al Sharpton calling you a Nazi and saying that you're planning genocide, when basically you're giving away the candy store to the left. And you can't oppose any part of the left's agenda without drawing this type of reaction. And if this doesn't show you the sad state of affairs, and see, because they control access to the goodies in American society, they are the new establishment. As Pat Buchanan said in his book, Death of the West, the counterculture of the 60s is now the dominant culture of America today, and the dominant culture of America in the 60s is now the dissident culture. We're up here in Radio Free America being the dissident culture broadcasting. Meanwhile, a low-grade moron like Al Sharpton has a six-figure salary, probably almost seven-figure salary, spewing total nonsense on the airwaves. And this is today's America. I mean, it's Orwellian, James.
Well, it is, Keith, and it certainly didn't start today. As you always point out, the radical egalitarian, the extremist egalitarian's march through the institution has been a long, hard slog, as Dick Cheney, I think, once called one of our police state actions. But I don't know if we have enough time to get into this clip. If we have a minute left, and our board op will know, let's go ahead and play. Let's play this next clip if we have a minute. This is Richard Nixon and Billy Graham. An oldie but goodie here. This was released a couple of years ago from February 1st, 1972, addressing the Jewish question. And it's kind of garbled, but we'll make sense of it here shortly. Let's roll it if we have the time.
The 500 hours of tapes released today showing what one historian calls Nixon's own dark view of how the world works, where the enemy is not just the communist, it's also the media. Listening in agreement is the Reverend Billy Graham.
This stranglehold has got to be broken, or this country is going to go down the drain.
Do you believe that?
Yes, sir.
I can't ever say it, but I believe it.
Today, Dr. Graham declined to discuss those remarks, but one historian who has heard the tapes says Nixon was more hardball politician than anti-Jewish.
Nixon had a tribal and a genetic view of politics, and the Jews were a tribe he thought were against him.
Nixon's White House counsel, Leonard Garment, who is Jewish, says the president was just letting off steam in private and was no bigot.
Privately, this is the way these men talked. This is the way that generation talked about minorities.
All right, folks, I know you probably couldn't hear Nixon very clearly on that. If you go to the Political Cesspool's website, you'll see in transcripts what he had to say there. But did you see how the media presented that story? Richard Nixon had a dark view of politics because he believed the media to be the enemy. He went on to say that Jews have too much power in media. And I'm going to address to you after this break why that is indeed a problem without being an anti-Semite. Watch me do it right after this.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Are you looking for literature from authors who aren't ashamed of their European-American heritage? Are you looking for books that don't shy away from the forbidden facts? You used to look all over the internet for these books, but you can now find them all at the same place, LighthouseLiterature.com. Whether you're looking for rare classics from the great thinkers or the latest and most popular books from guys like me, Lighthouse Literature is your trusted source for the best books at the best prices. For a limited time, you can get my new book, Racism Schmacism, from Lighthouse Literature for only $10. When you make a purchase from www.lighthouseliterature.com, you're helping support dedicated real-world advocates and activists. So, what are you waiting for? Surf on over to lighthouseliterature.com. A bright light for the right.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cofcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
To get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks, you just heard that commercial from the Council of Conservative Citizens. Don't forget that on Friday and Saturday, July 6th and 7th, Keith Alexander and I will be in Nashville. We're taking our show on the road once again, and we'll be broadcasting live from Nashville at the 2012 Council of Conservative Citizens Conference, where the two of us will share the stage with former United States Congressman Tom Tancredo. That's right. James, Keith, and Congressman Tancredo will be speaking to the CFCC, and you can be there. It's open to the public. All you've got to do is go to cfcc.org and get in touch with our friends there at the council and register for the conference. And there you will be able to participate in a live taping of our award-winning show, Rub Elbows with me, Keith, the gang, Tancredo, and the other great speakers that are sure to be there. So that's coming up a little less than a month away now, and we'll have more information about that on our website as the days go by. So stay tuned to thepoliticalcesspool.org for more information. We're certainly looking forward to that. During that previous segment, we played that clip. Of course, that clip, those tapes of Nixon's White House days were released a couple of years ago, but it ties in perfectly to the name calling of Al Sharpton. You heard Richard Nixon and Billy Graham, and basically what they were saying is that Jews have too much power in the media. Now, what's wrong with a group of people that make up, what, 1-2% of the overall population, maybe less than that, dominating upwards of 90, close to 100% of the so-called mainstream media today? What's the matter with that? What's the matter with this stranglehold, as Billy Graham called it? Billy Graham said that if this stranglehold is not broken, America is going to go down the tubes, as you just heard. What's the matter with it? There's only one thing the matter with it, and that is that Jews are very left-wing by and large. Now, certainly we've had many Jewish guests on this show that are not, but there is the exception to the rule, but the rule still exists. Now, you heard also Nixon say, oh boy, I agree with you, Reverend Graham. They do have a stranglehold, and if we don't break it, we're going to go down the tubes. I can't say it, but I believe it. And then one of Nixon's advisors at the time said that, oh, he really wasn't a bigot. Well, they float out the idea that he may be a bigot for believing that it might not be a good idea to let a very left-wing group absolutely dominate the media lock, stock, and barrel. They prefaced that whole segment by saying it was a dark view that Nixon held, that the media was the enemy of freedom of speech in this country. Well, what do you make of it, Keith?
Well, we've said many times on this show that what is the problem with Jewish power and influence? Why is that more dangerous than, say, Scottish power and influence, or English power and influence, or French or Italian power and influence? The problem is this. Jews are the most liberal segment of the white population, or at least the population that passes as white in America. So consequently, when Jews are in charge, that means liberalism is in charge. And if you're a conservative and that doesn't disturb you, then what type of conservative are you? Are you a conservative that is okay with being constantly on the outside? Are you a conservative that wants to lose the culture war? Because as long as the left is in charge of the bully pulpit, the national news media, of course, the entertainment industry is even more dominated by Jewish power and influence. All eight major movie studios have a Jewish CEO. There was a writer in Hollywood named Joel Stein that not only acknowledged this, he bragged about it and said, it just shows what would alarm me is if we weren't. See, this is the standard criticism of Jewish power and influence that's existed for time immemorial. You know, there was a writer named Ravello Oliver, which is obviously a nom de plume, as they call it, a pen name, because Ravello is Oliver spelt backwards. He put on his website, and you can still see it there, I believe, a list of every nation in which Jews were run out, basically since the original diaspora in AD 70 when the Jewish temple in Jerusalem was torn down, and the Romans finally had their fill of Jews making trouble in Palestine and dispersed them. Rather than killing them, they disperse them all over the world. America has, at the present time, 2.2% of its population that is Jewish. However, over one-third of the Forbes 400 wealthiest Americans are Jewish. Over one-third of the student body at top Ivy League schools like Harvard and Yale are Jewish. That's more than anyone else. When they complain back in the 1920s about Jewish quotas, what they were complaining about was being limited to 15% of the student body by the administrators of those schools back in, let's say, 1900 to 1920. They started to come over to America in large numbers beginning in 1890 in what's called the second great wave of immigration. So in other words, they were complaining about being overrepresented by a factor of over 6 based, when compared to their incidence in the population generally in the United States. And what I would say to that is, if that is oppression, where do I sign up to get my share of it, James?
Yeah, I tell you what, good work if you can get it, Keith, as they say. But anyway, you know, just Billy Graham, you know, and why didn't they do more? Let me ask you that, Keith. Why? They knew that this was a problem. I mean, this was the president of the United States and quite arguably the most influential evangelical leader of the time, Billy Graham, in 1972. They could have made a difference. If any two people could have, you would imagine that the most prominent leader of the so-called Christian right and the president of the United States could have, you know, made a dent in the impact here if they chose to do it. But basically, like a disgruntled employee, they were grousing over their beers in private and, you know, complaining about this with one another in secrecy. You know, these were tapes that were released of private conversations. Never once did they make an issue of this publicly. Now, this is the president of the United States and Billy Graham. Collectively, they would have had the power to influence 100 million people.
Well, it's a testament to the power of political correctness, which apparently was alive and well and as virulent as ever in 1972 as it is today. They knew that with Jews being in charge of the national news media, that they would be crucified if they came out with just an honest opinion or even trying to open up the public debate to discuss this issue. So consequently, they bit their tongues. And what this shows is that biting your tongue never works. You'd be better off to shout it from the mountaintop. You know, what did Martin Luther King Jr. say? Go say it on the mountain, let my people go. Well, that's what the rest of us have to do in response to Jewish power and influence, which is really, if you want to put it in more palatable terms, liberal power and influence. That's what has happened in America.
Well, again, you even heard Richard Nixon say it himself. He said, you know, he agreed with Billy Graham. If the stranglehold isn't broken, the country's going to go down the tubes. But as you heard him say in the clip, he goes, I believe it, but I can't say anything about it. This is the president talking.
And Jewish power and influence, as you will discover if you look back in history, got him anyway. They took him out. They ended his presidency because he had the audacity to delay the liberal express they had in mind. They, you know, the cultural Marxist wing of the Democrat Party intentionally sabotaged Hubert Humphrey's old left campaign for presidency in 1968 with the, the hijinks in Chicago. With the hijinks they did in Chicago, you know, the Chicago 7 and everything like that. And then you had a new left candidate come out, George McGovern, who got beat so badly, 49 states to 1. It was the first time that had happened in the history of presidential elections. And it was only duplicated once, and that was Ronald Reagan's second term when he beat his opponent 49 states to one. Now,
can you imagine?
But nonetheless, do they ever learn a lesson? No, they don't. They keep coming on as strong as ever, and they took Nixon out as weak of a cup of tea as Richard Nixon was. He was basically the guy that implemented affirmative action for the first time with the Philadelphia Plan, where he gave preference to minority contractors for federal construction projects. And he also approved the EEOC basically ignoring the letter of the law in the 64 Civil Rights Act and using statistical discrepancies to punish employers. That guy was taken out by the left, okay? That shows you, you cannot concede a thing to them. You'll never get a dispensation.
We'll be back, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to talk about nursing mothers in the military. Stay tuned for that. We gotta get out of this place. Girl, there's a
better life for me. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign Newspaper. It is time for you to read the most daring underground publication. Spreading the word through print. It seeks to enlighten the free people to be knowledgeable with current, important events and take action in their own communities to stop the New World Order agenda of one world government. This publication is so rogue and extremely daring that establishment sources and critics rarely give approval of its content. Featured articles by concerned citizens, prominent whistleblowers, and credible authors. The Sovereign Newspaper is a monthly 32-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about current events in the age of Obama. The Sovereign Newspaper, available now at newsstands everywhere.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our zero-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the political cesspool. Got a comment in during the break, Keith. Great show, as always. The listener writes that he always downloads the show and listens to it on MP3 while laying in bed that evening. So I guess, what's he saying, Keith, that we put people to sleep?
It must be what it is. We're the sure cure for insomnia, apparently. But let me get back to that last, put the cherry on top, if I can, of the last story. They took Richard Nixon out. It was a news media hatchet job. Remember, it was Woodward and Bernstein and the Washington Post that led the charge that took Richard Nixon out. So consequently, what did Richard Nixon do about never going public about the Jewish domination of the news media? He got nothing. What did James Dobson, what did Billy Graham, what did Ralph Reed, what did innumerable mainstream conservatives get from trying to pull their punches with the left? Absolutely nothing. You better realize, people on the right, that you're in a fight for your life with the left. The left is taking no prisoners. They didn't take prisoners back then. They wanted to prove to the right, it doesn't matter whether you win the election or not, we'll still take you out. And I guarantee you, they're going to try it if Obama loses this election that's coming up. Hide and watch, as they say. So consequently, you better grow a set of cojones now, because you're definitely going to need them in the days to come.
Well, Keith, as America continues to devolve, as we continue to progress into this post-Christian secular humanist monstrosity, a story on the website right now, folks, you got to see it. I mean, there's a whole story to it, but the picture is worth 10,000 words. It's the title of the article is "Nursing Mothers Make Good Soldiers," and apparently is what the leaders of our military think, and it's utterly absurd. Now, you know, a few weeks ago, a major magazine came out with pictures of mothers breastfeeding and so on and so forth. I mean, I guess that's not considered to be porn, and certainly I hope it's not, because we put a picture up on our website to illustrate the point. But the story reads that at a time when breastfeeding in public is already controversial, pictures of two military moms doing so while wearing their uniforms is sparking controversy. And then again, the story goes on from there. But basically what you have here at the bottom of it, and we've included the picture that appeared in this publication, and you've got two mothers, two young, very attractive women in their combat fatigues with their babies nursing on their breasts. Now, I'm trying not to be too graphic here. I'm trying to tell you what's going on. Just look at the picture. So, obviously, this is something that's very natural, very beautiful. I don't think it should be done in public. But the point of the matter of this story is it's women in military fatigues breastfeeding. How far up Normandy Beach do you think the Allies would have advanced if so-called soldiers such as this were leading the charge? You're talking about 20-year-old girls, apparently. And this is a modern day soldier. Women should not be in the military, period. I mean, isn't that obvious? Shouldn't that be obvious? The theory and practice is as ridiculous as the photo that you will find at our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Look at the entry entitled "Nursing Mothers Make Good Soldiers." But Keith, what are the powers that be thinking? Do they really think that this is a good idea, or is this just a tactic to help accelerate America's downfall?
I go for number two. I think it's a tactic to accelerate America's downfall, although there are a lot of little apple polishers like Chief of Naval Operations Admiral Gary Roughhead in charge of the Navy, who is implementing affirmative action like mad at the U.S. Naval Academy in Annapolis, or General George Bernard Casey, Chief of Army Operations. He's the one who made the comment in response to a question on Meet the Press regarding Major Nadal. Remember the Muslim psychiatrist major who, I think, shot 37 fellow soldiers at Fort Hood. He said, "As terrible as this tragedy is, it would be an even greater tragedy if our diversity was a casualty as well." Now, this is the type of politically correct numbskull that is leading our nation to war nowadays. No wonder we can't win a war anymore. No wonder, it took basically from 1942 to a couple of months into 1945 to win World War II. How long have we been in Afghanistan? How long have we been in Iraq? We've been in Korea since 1952 with 35,000 troops on the Korean Peninsula. Imagine how much that costs. We've made South Korea a puppet state, and they're here gutting us economically as we speak. You know that South Korea sells over 50,000 vehicles a year to the United States. You know how many American vehicles are sold, you know, American brand cars like Ford and Chevrolet are sold in Korea every year? Less than 10. Do you know why? They're supposedly a free trade nation, but their free trade comes with a hook. If you're a Korean and you buy a Chevy or a Ford, your tax return is automatically pulled for audit. Now, if you bought a Kia or a Hyundai and you knew that by doing that you were going to get your tax return audited, how many people do you think would buy Kias and Hyundais? See, people that are running our military are absolute maniacs now. And the only reason people like Casey and Roughhead do it is because they know it's a fast track to promotion, and apparently it was. Meanwhile, it's based upon a fallacious assumption, the most false assumption of all, and that is that all human beings are equal. Women and men are not equal. If they were equal, there would be no need for a WNBA or a LPGA, Ladies Pro Golf Tour.
If they were equal, you could spit out a baby, Keith.
Exactly, and you would be breastfeeding right now, probably. But see, that doesn't mean they're inferior. It just means they're different. But the radical egalitarians that are in charge of our society today have this idea that people are like soybeans. We're interchangeable. One's just as good as the next. It started with the civil rights movement. That's where the camel got its nose in the tent. Black people are the same as or just as good as white people. Then you had criminal rights. Criminals are the same as or just as good as law-abiding citizens. That's where Gideon versus Wainwright and things like Miranda versus Arizona and Escobedo versus Arizona came from. Batson versus U.S. Again, radical egalitarianism that flies in the face of common sense was mandated by our government. Then you have feminism. Women are the same as or just as good as men in every respect. Then you have illegal immigrants are the same as or just as good as lawful citizens. Then you have homosexuals are the same as or just as good as heterosexuals. Then you go really into the twilight zone with environmentalism. Plants and animals are the same as or just as good as human beings. Now, anybody that objects to any of this in the mildest form, as we saw with that last episode we had regarding Al Sharpton's comments about the feckless, toothless modern Republican Party being filled with genocidal maniacs, any type of criticism of this radical egalitarian nonsense will put you in the crosshairs and mark you for extinction, as Richard Nixon could attest if he were still around today. They took him out because, you know, he was almost as liberal as John F. Kennedy. In fact, probably more so. Just like Lyndon Baines Johnson was supposed to balance the ticket, he was more liberal than JFK. But it doesn't matter. If you have a scintilla of conservatism to your being, you're going to be public enemy number one to the left, and they will not rest until they've taken you out. And it doesn't matter how many wars we lose. It doesn't matter how many movies Hollywood makes that nobody wants to see. You know, they're dedicated to what they consider to be a higher cause, which is destroying America.
They're doing a hell of a job. I got to give it to them. Hats off to a job well done, no matter what the end result may be. I mean, if that's their goal, they're achieving it. And to some level, you have to respect that. But anyway, we're doing our part to oppose it. And certainly, for the amount of weight we carry, we've been very, very effective. And of course, all of that, ladies and gentlemen, is due to the is a result of your support here, of our work and of this network that carries our show and syndicates us to the national airwaves each and every Saturday night. Don't forget that our current second quarter fundraising drive is currently ongoing. It runs through June 30th. We got off to a good start, a little lull this week. We want to resuscitate the momentum, and we need you to contribute in order for us to be able to do that. So if you want to feel good about yourself, as Eric from Arizona encouraged each and every one of you to do, donate to this radio program. Do your part. ThePoliticalCesspool.org. We're going to take a break. Second and third hour still forthcoming tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to rock and roll. Stay tuned. It's only going to get better.
The day the squirrel went berserk in the First Self-Righteous Church in that sleepy little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting, hallelujah. Well, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his fruit of the looms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room. All the way down to the amen.